بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم. From the kitab إصلاح العقائد corrections of beliefs we continue reading concerning our عقائد. The topic today is concerning tawassul. The Shari'i meaning of tawassul is to make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala using those words, actions or personalities which are accepted and beloved to Allah Ta'ala as an intermediary or means for getting one's dua accepted, by saying, for example, "Oh Allah, by the blessings of these, accept our dua." Just to repeat, that the meaning of tawassul is to make dua to Allah Ta'ala using those words, actions or personalities which are accepted and beloved to Allah Ta'ala as an intermediary or means for getting one's dua accepted, by stating, "O Allah, by the blessings of these, accept our dua." There are three wasilas, in other words, channels by means of which it is desirable to supplicate. Number one, Asma'ul Husna, to utilize the blessed names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala whilst making dua to draw the mercy of Allah ta'ala. For example, a person says, "Oh, one who is most merciful," etc. Number two, good actions. To mention some righteous action which one had carried out with the aim of drawing acceptance from Allah Ta'ala for one's dua. For example, "Oh Allah, through the blessings of the salat or the tilawat or fast, etc., accept this dua of mine." And the third way of wasila is through the special servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A person makes dua to Allah ta'ala that through the blessings of the special servant, accept my dua. Tawassul by means of the creation is of three types. Number one, to supplicate to someone and seek his help and assistance, as was the practice of the polytheists, the mushrikeen. This is prohibited by ijma, consensus. Number two, requesting the pious to make dua on one's behalf. Since this is not proven for the dead, this form is restricted to the living, except for the Anbiya alayhimu salatu wasalam. One can ask Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam at his blessed grave to supplicate on behalf of him. One should not stand at the graves of others and ask them to make dua. Number three, to make dua to Allah Ta'ala by the blessings of an accepted servant. This means to make dua to Allah Ta'ala by the wasila, that is the means of the Anbiya alayhimu salam, or the awliya and the pious servants of Allah Ta'ala. For example, "O Allah, fulfill this work of mine by the wasila of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam." Or a person says, "By the tufail of Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiyallahu anhu." Or a person says, "By the barakat, blessings of Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi." Or he says, "Or by the hurmat of Shaykh Junaid Baghdadi rahmatullah alayhi." So this form of making, this way of making dua is permissible. This action is permissible and in fact meritorious and better, since it is a means for the acceptance of duas. This is referred to as tawassul bidzat. Some beliefs regarding the angels and the jinn. Belief number one, Allah Ta'ala has created a certain creation from light. They are conceived from our gazes, they are known as angels. We have not been informed whether they are masculine or feminine. They neither eat nor drink. They are free from urinating and defecating. They have been entrusted with many duties. They never do any action contrary to the command of Allah Ta'ala. They are constantly in the worship of Allah Ta'ala in different forms and never weary of worship. They never get tired of worshipping Allah Ta'ala. They are innumerable. Only Allah Ta'ala knows their exact number. Amongst these, there are four that are very famous: Jibreel alayhi salam, Mikael alayhi salam, Israel alayhi salam, and Israfil alayhi salam. Munkar and Nakir question the dead in the grave. The Kiram and Katibin are those angels who record the good and evil deeds of man. 19 angels have been deputed over Jahannam. Some angels are carrying the throne of Allah Ta'ala, and some are in charge of looking after humans, and some are making tawaf. In brief, the angels are deputed with various duties which they readily fulfill. In the second belief, Allah Ta'ala has created a certain creation from fire. They too are concealed from our gazes. They are known as jinn. They are righteous as well as evil doers amongst them. They also have offspring. The most famous amongst them is the evil Iblis, who we know as Shaitan. Last night, alhamdulillah, in the Taraweeh, the ninth para was recited, which is the completion, which comprises of the completion of Suratul A'raf, which carries on till three quarter of the para, and then a portion of Suratul Anfal is also mentioned at the end. As mentioned yesterday, that in Suratul A'raf, besides the central themes and tenets of Islam being discussed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes mention of the incidents of the nations of the past, how they refused to accept the message of Haqq as propagated to them by their respective Anbiya alayhimu salatu wa salam, and then how the wrath of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then descended upon them. So towards the end of the eighth para, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes mention of these incidents, and it carries on till about half of the ninth para. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes mention of these incidents, and as mentioned yesterday, that the Kitabullah, the Qur'an-i-Majid, is not just a recollection of historical facts and without any purpose and reason. The reason why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions throughout the Qur'an-i-Majid at various places the incidents of the Anbiya, of the nations of the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam of the past, who refused to accept the message of Haqq, and for which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then destroyed them. The reason for mentioning them, ulama have given various reasons and objectives. One of them is so that lessons can be drawn from them for mankind, particularly this ummah, that if they also do not accept the message of Haqq as propagated, dated by Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they could also be liable for drawing the wrath of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon them. Further on, another reason ulama explain is to give Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam comfort and solace, that, O Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, don't think that only your nation has refused to accept your message and refused to accept your nabuwat, but the nations of the past also, they also had denied the message of Haqq and refused to accept the message of Haqq, and that is why they were destroyed. So it is a form of providing comfort and solace to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam also. And the third reason the ulama explain is to prove the nabuwat, the truthfulness of the nabuwat of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, everybody knew Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam was not tutored by any person, nor was he lettered, he was unlettered, but despite that, with great accuracy and detail, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam mentions the incidents of the nation of the past, who had passed long before the time of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Many of these nations were passed centuries before the time of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And this was only possible if when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam was receiving wahi and revelation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which proved that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam was a Nabi, or else how could Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam relate to the people the incidents of the nations of the past? Anyway, these are the three main reasons. There are other reasons also, ulama explain, that in the clash of between Haqq and Batil, Allah Ta'ala always makes Haqq triumph and victorious over Batil. And this is also seen in these incidents. Allah Ta'ala first of all mentioned the incident of the nation of Nuh alayhi salam, who rejected the message of Haqq passed by Nuh alayhi salam, after much toiling and after a long period of time, how Allah Ta'ala destroyed them by the floods. Thereafter, the incident of the nation of Ad, to whom Hud alayhi salatu was salam was sent, how they also refused to accept the message of Haqq because of their pride and arrogance, despite Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granting them great strength and stature also. وَزَادَكُمْ فِي الْخَلْقِ بَسْطَةً. But despite all that, they remain in a condition of ingratitude and refuse to accept the message of Haqq, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then destroyed them through a violent wind, and they were completely destroyed. Further on, Allah Ta'ala makes mention of the nation of Thamud, who were the successors of the nation of Ad, and to them Salih alayhi salatu wasalam was sent. How they also refused to accept the message of Haqq, they requested a miracle to be shown to them, that a pregnant camel, must now be made to emerge from solid rock. And Allah Ta'ala acceded to that and made it so. But they refused to accept the message of Haqq. And again, because of their pride and obstinacy, how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they refused to accept the message, and Allah Ta'ala then destroyed them by means of an earthquake. Then Allah Ta'ala makes mention of the nation of Lut alayhi salatu wasalam, who besides being involved in kufr and shirk, they were also involved in the evil of lust, and they were involved in sodomy and homosexuality. Despite repeated efforts by Lut alayhi salatu wasalam to explain to them the evil of what they were doing, they did not mend their ways. They refused to correct their condition, and with the result, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala rained upon them stones and fire, and they were turned upside down and completely destroyed. Further on, Allah Ta'ala then makes mention of the incident of Shu'aib, nation of Shu'aib alayhi salatu wasalam, and this incident then carries on into the ninth para. This nation, besides being involved in kufr and shirk, they were also involved in the evil of cheating, in weighing and measuring. How Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then also destroyed them by means of a terrible and violent shriek from the skies which shattered their hearts, and also an earthquake from beneath them. They were afflicted with that, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then destroyed them. In the first verse of the ninth para, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes mention of the same incident, that the proud people of the nation of Shu'aib alayhi salatu wasalam, they threatened Shu'aib alayhi salatu wasalam and told him that we will take you out of our town together with all those who believe in you, and we will take you out, or else you return to our and you come back to our religion of polytheism. But Shu'aib alayhi salatu wasalam explained to them, but they refused to accept, and then they were destroyed. Thereafter, before making mention of the incident of Musa alayhi salatu wasalam in great detail, the incident of Musa alayhi salam and his people and his nation is comparatively mentioned in much more detail throughout the Quran and Majid in comparison to the incidents of the nations of the past. That is mentioned after that, and that carries on for about half a para. Before that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes mention of the fact that these nations who refused to accept the message of Haqq, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not just suddenly punish them, but first Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala changed their conditions first into conditions of adversity. Perhaps because of that, they might turn humble and turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and accept the truth. Sometimes conditions of adversity and difficult conditions is actually a blessing in disguise from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As we witness many a time, a person leads a completely unmindful life, completely away from practicing on the injunctions of Sharia. But sometimes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who wishes to now bring him back onto the path, afflicts him with some calamity, some problem, and with the result, we see that his whole life then changes all of a sudden. So, conditions of adversity are actually sometimes a blessing in disguise from Allah Ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala says, this is what we did first, that we changed their conditions into conditions of adversity, لَعَلَّهُمْ يَضَّرَّعُونَ, so that they might turn humble and turn to Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala and accept the truth. But sometimes this does not affect the people, and Allah Ta'ala says that then we grant them conditions of prosperity in the form of good health, in the form of abundant wealth and offspring, so that they may turn to Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala in gratitude. So this also is sometimes a test from Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, that Allah Ta'ala opens the doors of barakat and prakat and prakat and prosperity for a person, so that he might now turn to Allah Ta'ala in gratitude. And this is what Allah Ta'ala then did with the nations of the past. But Allah Ta'ala says, when we change the adverse conditions into conditions of prosperity, and they started prospering in every avenue, then they began saying that even our forefathers were afflicted with good and bad conditions. In other words, they did not turn to Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, and they regarded this change of conditions not because of their evil ways, but they regarded it to be natural phenomena. And with the result, then Allah Ta'ala says, فَأَخَذْنَاهُمْ بَغْتَةً. And that is when we suddenly seize them in a condition that they don't even realize that these conditions were actually given to them, so that they accept the truth and turn to Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. Further on, Allah Ta'ala then mentions that the incident of Musa alayhi salatu wasalam and his nation. Musa alayhi salam and the Bani Israel, initially they were from the Ard-e Muqaddasa, that is the lands of Sham. Sham today is not only the country of Syria, but all that area around Syria also, which includes Jordan, Palestine, etc. That whole area is called the area of Sham. So Bani Israel, Yaqub alayhi salam, whose progeny are called the Bani Israel, they were actually from there. But because of circumstances, they were afflicted with drought and famine. Details are mentioned in Surah Yusuf. Then they came to Egypt. Yusuf alayhi salam also, the incident will be mentioned later on, how he landed up in Egypt. And eventually, the Bani Israel, they made it their place of residence. And slowly over the years, their progeny increased and increased. And they became quite a considerable and large number in Egypt. But it was not their homeland. The people, actual inhabitants of Egypt, were the Copts under the kingdom of Fir'aun. Fir'aun is actually a title, and all the leaders and kings of Egypt over the time are called Fir'aun, which we, in English we say the pharaohs. Anyway, they oppressed the Bani Israel and enslaved them. And different forms of oppression was meted out upon them, and they kept them slaves under them. And when Musa alayhi salam was born in such an environment, and the incident of the birth of Musa alayhi salam, also Allah Ta'ala explains later on in the 20th para or so. So Musa alayhi salatu salam was then made a Nabi. And Musa alayhi salam realized the oppression that his people were being subjected to by the Copts, the people of Fir'aun, the Qibtis. And Musa alayhi salatu salam was granted Nabuwat by Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. And his mission was now to take out his people from the slavery which they were being subjected to and oppression, and take them out and return them to the actual homeland of Sham. So the incident concerning that is being mentioned here. Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala deputed Musa alayhi salatu wasalam to go to Fir'aun and propagate the message of Haqq to Fir'aun. Fir'aun, he had called himself Rabbi Allah, the supreme deity, and he regarded himself like to be God, and the people, his subjects, were actually now told to actually now worship him and regard him to be the supreme deity. Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala sent Musa alayhi salatu wasalam to Fir'aun, and Allah Ta'ala granted Musa alayhi salatu wasalam two great miracles besides others to prove his nabuwat, and also so that Fir'aun and his people might be affected and accept his message. The one was the staff, the asa, which now, when thrown down, used to turn into an enormous serpent. And the other one was the yad al-bayda, the shining hand, that Musa alayhi salam used to draw his hand out from under his armpit, and it used to shine. These were the miracles which were given to him. When he went to Fir'aun even asked for proof, to say that you say that you are a Nabi, what is the proof? And Musa alayhi salatu wasalam presented to him these miracles, but yet Fir'aun and his courtiers and his people refused to accept the message of Haqq, and they branded it as sihr, jadu and witchcraft. And they thought that Musa alayhi salatu wasalam was an expert magician, and what he is showing us is just sheer magic. Anyway, then the incident, which is also mentioned in various places in the Quran and Majid, that they decided to gather all the expert magicians from around the country to challenge Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, thinking that what he is now presenting to us is magic. And when the challenge took place, and Musa alayhi salatu wasalam threw down his staff, and it turned into an enormous stake, the magicians immediately realized that this is not something which we can now contest and challenge, because this is not magic. This is something which is in reality. And they immediately then fell into prostration and declared their iman upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and accepting Musa alayhi salatu wasalam as the Nabi. And Fir'aun, seeing this, he flew into a rage and he threatened the magicians that he will cut their limbs from alternate directions, the right leg and the left foot, right hand and the left foot, or the other way around, and that he will crucify them and he will now put them into death. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted these magicians such firm iman that all these threats of Fir'aun meant nothing to them, and they clearly declared that, oh, do what you want to, but we are not going to forsake our iman. Thereafter Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then makes, but Fir'aun did not accept, and Allah ta'ala then mentions that Fir'aun continued with his tyranny and oppression and refusal to accept the message of Haqq. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that we afflicted Fir'aun and the people of Fir'aun with different forms of adversity and difficulties. Perhaps this might serve a way to now bring them to accept the message of Haqq. Allah Ta'ala says we afflicted them with drought, with shortage of produce, fruits and crops. And also Allah Ta'ala says that we sent upon them the flood, the locusts that devoured all their crops in their fields, and kummal, ticks and louses, their houses infested with them, and the stored grain which they had kept in their homes were all then devoured by these ticks and louses, and they became not edible for them anymore. And frogs, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala infested their homes, etc., with frogs, that even in their utensils, even if they wanted to cook anything or use any utensil, they would find a frog there. A person, if he opened his mouth from the corpse, a frog would jump into there. They became frustrated with this, and the last form of punishment was dam, blood. All their water and things to drink, before they could now consume it, would turn to blood, and this now caused great problems for the people of Fir'aun. This only used to happen to the people of Fir'aun. The Bani Israel used to stay in their midst. But they were not affected by these forms of punishment, as the Copts were, the Qibtis were, and they became so frustrated that each time a calamity used to come to them, they used to go to Musa alayhi salatu wasalam and plead with Musa alayhi salam that please make dua to Allah Ta'ala, that Allah Ta'ala must now remove the difficulty from us, and if he does so, then we will accept your message of Haqq and believe in you to be the true Nabi. But every time Allah Ta'ala, Musa alayhi salam used to make the dua, one calamity used to be removed, but they did not now uphold their promise, and they remain in their kufr and shirk and evil ways. And then the next calamity, and then the same thing, and it carried on like this, but each time they broke their promises and they refused to accept the message of Haqq. Eventually Musa alayhi salatu wasalam then one night, according to the order of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, took all the Bani Israel out and took them out from Egypt and took them towards the Ard Muqaddasa, that is to the lands of Sham. They had to cross the Red Sea in between, and the famous incident and miracle which Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, Allah ta'ala granted him, that when he threw his staff onto the waters of the Red Sea, it completely opened up and pathways were made for the Bani Israel to cross through. Fir'aun and his army, who tried to pursue them, but when they now reached there, and they thought now they will also cross through the pathways of the Red Sea. But when they reached the center, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered the waters to now join up again, and they were all drowned, and then Fir'aun and his people were completely then destroyed. That incident is mentioned very briefly here, but elsewhere in the Quran and Majid, Allah ta'ala mentions more details of the same incident. After crossing the Red Sea and going towards the Ard Muqaddasa, the Bani Israel, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Musa alayhi salatu wa salam, on the insistence of the people of his people, the Bani Israel, then they requested Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give them a code of guidance of the laws of Shariat. And then Musa alayhi salatu wa salam was summoned to the Mount Sinai, Mount Tur, and where Musa alayhi salatu wa salam stayed for 30 initially days, which was extended to 40 days. He fasted in those days also, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed him with the Torah. The Torah was revealed to him. In that duration, Musa alayhi salatu wasalam requested to see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah ta'ala told Musa alayhi salam in clear terms, "Lan tarani, you can never see me." And it is our aqidah also that nobody can see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with his eyes in this world in a state of wakefulness. Nobody has seen and nobody will be able to see. Allah ta'ala clearly mentioned that. But Allah ta'ala told Musa alayhi salam that if you are to see just a spark and manifestation of my illumination and tajalli, look at that mountain. If you can stand my tajalli and illumination, then perhaps you might be able to see me. Allah ta'ala just sent a small spark of his great tajalli and illumination onto the mountain, and it turned into dust. It was completely broken up into pieces. And on seeing this, Musa alayhi salam also then fell unconscious. And when he regained consciousness, Musa alayhi salatu wasalam mentions, purity belongs to you only, Allah ta'ala. I turn in repentance to you for making such a request which was not befitting for me to make, and I am the first to now bring iman from my whole nation. That incident is mentioned here. Anyway, Musa alayhi salam, in that time, while he was for 40 days by the Mount Sinai, his nation became involved in the worshipping of the calf. That through the instigation of a person called Samiri, he collected the jewelry, all which was from amongst the Bani Israel, and he made it into, he crafted a form of a calf. And he told the people that Musa alayhi salam is gone there to look for his Rabb. This is your Rabb. And they started worshipping the calf. Musa alayhi salam, when he came back and he found out what they were doing, Musa alayhi salam became very angry. And anyway, then he informed them that how can this ever be your Rabb? And he stopped them from worshipping the calf. The whole incident is mentioned here. Further on, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then makes mention that these people who are worshipping the calf, from amongst the Bani Israel, they were afflicted by the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and quite a few thousand were killed because of this punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala coming down upon them. Further on, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they make mention of Nabuwat of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam being mentioned in the previous scriptures. الذين يتبعون الرسول النبي الأمي الذي يجدونه مكتوبا عندهم في التوراة والإنجيل. The coming of the final Nabi in the form of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam description, etc., is all recorded in the Torah and Injil. But because the present day versions of the Torah and the Injil, because of the changing the people, the Jews and the Christians who refused to acknowledge the Nabuwat of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They had changed those verses, and that's why outwardly there doesn't seem to be any mention of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the present day changed versions of the Torah and the Injil. But then too the ulama mentioned that certain phrases and sentences and verses of the Torah and Injil are such that even today in the changed versions of the Torah and Injil, still indication is also can be found towards mention of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his description. Maulana Kiranvi rahmatullah alayhi has written a kitab by the name of Izhar-e-Haq, in which he has, from the present day versions of the Torah and the Injil, he has taken out those passages which indicate towards the coming of the last Nabi and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Further on, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then makes mention of the great ingratitude of the people of Musa alayhi salam, that is the Bani Israel. Mention of it was made in the first para already, how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed them with various and bounties, but how they too, the nation of Musa alayhi salam, that is the Bani Israel, they also remained stubborn also, they also did not readily accept the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which Musa alayhi salatu wa salam propagated to them. When they were thirsty, Allah ta'ala made water come out from rocks to quench their thirst. When they were afflicted with extreme heat, Allah ta'ala made the clouds come over them to provide shade for them. And when they were hungry, Allah Ta'ala provided man and salwa. Man, a type of a sweet meat, and salwa, a type of a bird. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala provided them a sustenance. But all these forms of bounties of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala only resulted in this nation even becoming more steeped in the evil of ingratitude. Allah Ta'ala makes mention of all that. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then makes mention of the incident of one of the scholars of the Bani Israel. He was named Bal'am ibn Ba'ura, how Allah ta'ala had blessed him with great knowledge of the Torah, but he then clung, Allah ta'ala says, أَخْلَدَ إِلَى الْأَرْضِ, he clung towards the earth. He was then more interested in getting the material possessions of this world, with the result that despite having been given such knowledge by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, yet he now went to the low ebb of materialism, and with the result Allah ta'ala then punished him in a way that he used to always now pant like a dog. A dog always panting, his tongue used to now always hang out, a dog. Whether now you load, put something on him or chase the dog, it will pant, and if you leave the dog also just on its own, it will still continue panting. There is a detailed incident of this, of why Bal'am ibn Ba'ura was afflicted with this type of punishment. Anyway, we will carry on. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, towards the end of the Suratul Araf, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes mention of many of his great qudrat, the progeny of insan, which is now the product of the new union between husband and wife. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes mention of that also, that the purpose of marriage and the union between husband and wife is liyaskuna ilayha, that a person finds peace and tranquility with his wife. And Allah ta'ala makes mention of the incident that when the wife conceives, and then the husband and wife, they make dua to Allah Ta'ala, that Allah Ta'ala must give them a healthy child. And then they say, we will now be grateful. But when Allah Ta'ala grants them a beautiful, healthy child, they continue with their evil of shirk. And they ascribe partners to Allah Ta'ala, they attribute the child to other deities besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala says, this is the common way of many people, that they always now in the form of ingratitude. Further on, Allah Ta'ala then mentions, towards the end of the para, Allah Ta'ala makes mention of some etiquettes concerning the reciting of the Qur'an Majeed and the hearing of the Qur'an Majeed. The surah started also mentioning the greatness and grandeur of the Qur'an Majeed. Here, also now mention is made of the Qur'an Majeed, that when the Qur'an Majeed is recited, listen attentively and stay silent. Perhaps then Allah Ta'ala's mercy will now come upon you. So these are great etiquettes of the Qur'an Majeed. Today, unfortunately, the Qur'an Majeed is sometimes now played on the radios, the CDs and whatever, but people are now remain occupied with all their worldly activities, and sometimes even now making a big noise and smoking, etc. This is now incorrect, and it is now against the etiquette of the Qur'an Majeed. The Allah Ta'ala then makes mention of concerning the way of making zikr of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala also. Allah Ta'ala says, remember your Rabb in a state of humbleness and with fear, and not in a very raised voice. وَدُونَ الْجَهْرِ مِنَ الْقَوْلِ. So there is permissibility definitely to make zikr in a raised voice, but a person shouldn't raise his voice too much, which resembles shouting. This is against the etiquette of making zikr of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. Thereafter, Suratul Anfal, the last quarter, is mentioned. Inshallah, we will discuss it tomorrow.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. عن ابن عباس رضي الله عنه قال: إن الله تعالى لم يفرض على عباده فريضة إلا جعل لها حدا معلوما، ثم عذر أهلها في حال العذر غير الذكر، فإن الله تعالى لم يجعل له حدا ينتهي إليه، ولم يعذر أحدا في تركه إلا مغلوبا على تركه. رواه ابن كثير. حضرت عبداللہ بن عباس رضی اللہ عنہ سے نقل کیا ہے، وہ فرماتے ہیں کہ حق تعالی شانہ نے کوئی چیز بندے پر ایسی فرض نہیں فرمائی جس کی کوئی حد مقرر نہ کر دی ہو اور پھر اس کے عذر کو قبول نہ فرما لیا ہو، بجائے اللہ تبارک و تعالی کے ذکر کے نہ اس کی کوئی حد مقرر فرمائی اور نہ عقل رہنے تک کسی کو معذور قرار دیا ہے. حضرت ابن عباس رضی اللہ عنہ says, nothing has been made obligatory by Allah Tabaraka Ta'ala without fixing a maximum limit for it and excusing the shortcomings in respect of it, except his zikr, for which there is no limit has been fixed, nor has any person, as long as he is sane, been exempted from it. Allah Tabaraka Ta'ala.